So today,
are we recording?
We are recording.
What?
I duped you, just like you dupe me sometimes.
I never have.
Yes, you have.
Go back, audience members.
Yeah,
I have never duped. I am not a duper. Okay. If anything, I'm a blooper. This is a joke, a walking joke of a video.
Oh my god. You are one of the most dramatic people I know, and I am quite dramatic myself, so it says a lot.
I would.
Okay. So what are we talking about today?
Hi.
Yeah, hi.
Yo and hello, and welcome to Radio Free Roscoe.
I actually hate when you say that. I don't know how to say it.
Because every time we're here, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's like we're on a radio show. And my first ever exposure to anything radio was Radio Free Roscoe.
I see.
Which, anyway, hi, we're the hosts of the show you're listening to called Goats and Oats.
Yep.
Coming to a theater near you.
One day.
And my name is Jay, pronouns they, them.
My name is Zipporah, pronouns she, they. I'm trying to say they, she, actually.
Oh, nice.
Just to swish it up, get some more. So I'm noticing, I'm comfortable with either. I feel like I prefer they, them. But yeah, I feel like people just call me like she, her, and it's just like assumed that that's the pronoun to use. And I'm like, you can't tell someone's pronouns by looking at them. So, like, just the concept of it kind of rubs me wrong.
I know, but it's also just, like, it's, I think that is something that is so ingrained in people's minds. Like, from such an early age, I was gagged the other week when one of my campers was like, are you a them? You look like a them. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, the fact that you... you can hold
enough.
Yeah, it was a double-edged sword because I was like, okay, Gagaroni, you're so young, you're out here, you're like, non-binary people are valid in my world, they're great. But I'm also just like, the fact that you're already being like, I have a visual expectation of what non-binary looks like, that is already like, oh, we just don't do that gender right when we're young. Like, people do not have it right.
I feel like at an age, though...
I mean, but, this person was 7, so yeah. I can't be too critical.
Oh, no, absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
But I'm like, I'm just like, oof, yeah.
I feel like I just keep she, her, because it's like in French, there's not really I think there is an equivalent, but it's not very commonly used.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a new term that they like invented. No, I think it's like yun or yen. It's, like it's the same in
Spanish.
Portuguese, actually.
Oh, okay, cool. Probably Portuguese, too.
Yeah, probably Spanish as well,
yeah.
But... yeah.
Love that. Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Where can they find you?
So, you can find me on social media. I've been, like, kind of, I feel like, a little bit off of IG for the past few days.
Yeah.
When you're seeing this, I might be back on my shit. Who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows?
As for the time being, yeah. I've felt that. A strong need to hide. Not hide, but just...
just, like,
keep it low, chill.
So I feel like once you start producing content to a certain, like, people almost, like, expect it from you, and I'm like, no, bitch.
Yeah,
I will do this when I am done and ready.
Exactly.
When I'm well and ready,
yeah.
Like, not, so, yeah.
I think that's
the only reason why.
Yeah, especially, like, the free content we're producing. I feel like it's one thing, maybe, if it's, like, you know, Patreon or something, but even still, I'm like, I still can prioritize my mental health and well-being, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it's like,
y'all
are giving...
yeah.
Me the most support. Yeah, but I'm just like...
not Patreon, though.
Yeah.
I feel like Patreon is, like, the best. But
Patreon,
like,
is the best base. Yeah.
It's always, like, people who, yeah, don't pay for content, who have, like, the most, like, questions, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, requests for free labor, and it's like, I love that you're...
the people who never send you a tip, either.
Yeah,
and
I'm like, I love that you're interested about this, but, like, it's gonna be at a fee. It's gonna be at a cost. Like, this is not... yeah, doing what you think it's doing. Like, today I got a DM that was just like, hey, do you have any resources about, like, how to deal with, like, cravings as a vegan? Can you send those over?
Oh my gosh.
Like,
I'm like, do I look like Google?
Literally, could you send those over? And I was like, I took a minute and I was like, you know what?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I forgot. There is...
I don't know.
There's a website that you should link people to. I should send it to you once I figure it out, but it's literally this website where as soon as you type it in, it looks like the Google homepage. But it's then just like this animation that types in, like, you can search into Google what you need to find or something. It's like a very sassy response.
That's funny.
Where people would be like, oh, it's Google, but it's like, it's not. It's like an actual message to be like, do your own research or something like that. I forget what it is, but.
I really like that concept.
I can send it to you.
Yeah.
That being said.
Like, the thing with, like, the, you could just Google it, though, like, the algorithms are pretty racist, and you'll see that, like, depending on, like,
where you
your
are,
search history, who
yeah.
you are, like, it'll populate different
well,
things.
Well, cookies are very, very much in effect, yeah.
So, like, I do get people wanting to, like, needing to be, like, directed any which way, like, that I could understand, but also, even then, like, rely on, like, your white allies to do that, you know what I mean? There's always a white person who can do that labor for you, in my humble opinion. But yeah, did we say what the episode is about?
No, we didn't.
Okay,
you're
so,
listening, curious, ears to the mic.
I mean, I'm pretty sure you saw the, like,
the
episode title.
Maybe is...
This is gonna be messy.
Titled LGBTQIA2S+.
Done and done.
That is the current working full acronym, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
There have been shorter versions because people are lazy and love an abbreviation. So
yeah.
There have been LGBTQIA.
Mm-hmm.
There's been LGBTQ+. There's
mm-hmm.
been LGBT. There was just LGB at one point.
Let's get into it then.
Okay.
All right.
We're back.
I'm fucking dead. So today we're doing the episode about LGBTQIA+.
2S.
2S plus.
2S plus.
Do you want to start maybe from like
the
back and then start and then go to
work
the
our way from the back to the front. Caboose to the new.
The way you're not supposed to wipe yourself.
Gross.
So,
oh my goodness. Okay, so
we can like
the 2IA. Oh, 2
is that
2S plus, so the plus.
So what's the plus?
The
yeah.
plus is a generic catch-all
mm-hmm.
symbol to mean anyone who doesn't see themselves in the acronyms
mm-hmm.
letters
mm-hmm.
would hopefully then see themselves in a plus.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the plus works very similar to, like, the other box when you're applying for funding or,
mm-hmm.
like, filling out a, you know, an application. It's like, who are you? And then it's like, white, other.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's problematic, but it's also, like, the acronyms are problematic
yeah,
in and of
yeah,
themselves.
Yeah.
So we're not going to get into language mm-hmm. and linguistics this episode. We're just going to focus on the acronyms. But yeah. Anyway, so the plus is the catch-all.
I feel like I might be in the plus.
You probably, yeah, you could be in the plus.
I could be in the plus. I was like a demi woman.
To be fair, there are like, there's actually like three Qs that are like hidden. It's like LGBTQQ. Q. Well, I don't know actually what the third Q is. I think it's QQ. We'll get into that later.
Like QQ.
You could be one of the Qs. Yeah. One of the Qs is questioning.
Yeah.
I
feel like just because, yeah, okay, I just feel like because the gender is so fluid, like, I feel like it's always just, like, in flux, if that makes sense, but I think that perhaps there are periods of time where, like, constant or stable.
Or there are periods of time where you feel constant and stable in that fluctuation,
yes!
and
you've
labeled that fluctuation as something.
That's the part.
Non-binary. Or
I love that, yeah, that's a really
good
way to put it.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So, I feel you on that.
Yeah.
So that's the plus.
Cool.
Do you want to hit up the 2 at the 2
I don't
S.
know why I did this, because I have to
yeah, I'm like, literally,
I
like,
literally,
have to
say
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I.
Literally, like, every time I have to go through something alphabetically, I'm like, A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
You know what? We should name the episode
this.
Alphabet Mafia, because then that way they won't know if they don't know.
Alphabet Mafia?
Yeah,
like
no, that's the community's term. It's, I didn't call it
Oh,
that.
Really?
Yeah, it's literally called that. It's literally Alphabet Mafia. That's what they say. It's, go on, if you're not on that side of TikTok,
that's
evidently, but
really good.
It's really good. Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, because I felt it as like a, but if it's that,
I'm sure not every queer person you go up to will be like, oh, I'm a part of the Alphabet Mafia, but it's like, it's the current language that's come out of, I guess, mainly TikTok, but.
My favorite mafia.
Yeah, it's very much like, oh, are you part of the Alphabet Mafia? Mm, okay, great, okay. So you'll like this account, hit the follow, or something like that. Like, it's usually always good. Anyway, point out, we can name it that, and then only people in the Alphabet Mafia would know.
I really what like that.
Is that.
And then they keep the alphabet letters like everywhere.
And then they get to this part of the episode, they're like, oh, it's about the gays.
Oh my gosh! And we like trap all of the...
And we trap
that
the...
Not that we have any listener that is like homophobic.
Oh, I'm sure there are some. There are some that slip through the past. You know how people just... People are so cognitively disassociative. They will literally just be like, oh, yeah, I'll listen to this. They're funny. I like them. It's like a conversation, but I don't agree with what they're saying. And I'm sure this has happened to multiple episodes in the past, too. People are just like, ha, ha, hee, hee. But I don't agree. Mm. And I'm just like, then leave!
I mean, anything that gets our listeners up, you know what I mean? Because it's like, at the end of the day, who is that helping?
Oh, I'm getting a call from Jordan.
Oh, answer. Answer on the pod. LOL.
Oh my gosh, okay. I'm getting a call from a friend on the pod. Yes!
Okay,
hi Jordan, you're calling me now live from a Go to Notes recording session with Zipporah the Vegan.
Hey Jordan,
do you feel do you feel comfortable to be recorded right now, and if not, we'll cut this out.
No, that's fine, I guess.
Amazing.
Okay. Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great, thanks, how are you?
We're good.
We're doing good.
Earlier today.
This is literally me with Jordan all the time. What did we say we were doing?
Why?
No, I was just saying how this is always like how our like planning for like meetups happens, where I'm like, did we say that we were doing anything? And you're like, no, but I did like do X, Y, and Z, but yeah.
Okay, so I'll give you, I'll send you a text when I'm leaving here, the studio, and then...
The studio!
And then, I'll make my way home. And then, yeah.
Or you get a lift from Jordan right here?
Yeah, I'm gonna pick you up.
Okay, yeah, cute. Do you want to do that? Do you want to stop by here?
Sorry.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, great. Okay, perfect. Perfect. That works.
Where is here?
The studio.
We'll text the address because we are on live right now on the pod, and I don't want my address being on here, but we'll send you.
We know we should do the thing where it's like beep 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 beep. We can beep it out.
We could.
Okay.
No.
Okay, I'll text you the address.
Yeah.
It's LGBTQIA2S+. Do you have anything to add?
Do I have anything to add?
Like, what do you think about? Yeah.
Queer, cynical, no questions asked. You can find me if you want to. I'm on the stream 24/7.
And you heard it here, folks. Don't fucks with us queer folk. We're on the streets. Okay.
We are the next generation. We are the moment. We are the trade of the season.
The trade of every season.
Yeah.
Spring, summer, winter, and fall.
Yeah. All of the season.
All stars and regular. Okay. I'll text you the address. Okay.
Bye.
Bye. Love you.
Bye. Love you.
Oh, I love him.
That was so cool.
Oh my gosh, okay, great. So for those of you who don't know, that wasn't planned, but we did just get a call from a queer friend. Our queer friend, which proves that this episode should be happening right now. That was a sign.
Yeah, it was a sign.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Truly.
And it's funny because like there aren't like that many. I feel like there aren't. Aren't that many black people here in Vancouver?
Not many queer
and
black
like,
people, but that's not true.
Went,
well, I thought that same, actually, so I'll let you go.
Sorry. Yeah. I was just going to say how I met Jordan, but, like, we were interviewing for a job at a very famous or well-known athletic apparel brand, and we were just waiting in line, and I was like, oh my gosh. And we just started talking, and we did like the group interview together, and like, we were friends ever since. And then, yeah.
Oh my gosh. Was he your first black gay male friend?
No. I feel. No. No.
No, you introduced me
to. Yeah, I have a few.
Home Skillet.
Home Skillet. Millie?
No. Is that? No.
What?
Also, to talk about the gay black scene or the queer black scene here
in Vancouver. It's Millie.
Okay. I love him.
I know, he's so
so incredibly funny.
Yeah.
Anyway, so here in Vancouver, I used to think the same. I was like, there are no queer black people up in this space.
Yeah.
The gag is we're just all dispersed and like spread out and hidden. And then it wasn't until I went to like specifically black queer events that I was like, oh my gosh. Yeah. So like one of the major ones that's hosted in the city is Level Up YBR, hosted by Shanique Wolf. She goes by Softie Shan on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And this amazing DJ, super cool femme.
Yeah.
And yeah, she puts on really cool for black events. And then the next one was Afro Queer, and that's where I really met all of the queer black people in the city.
It was like, oh my gosh.
I was gagged. I was so happy. Anyway,
that was awesome.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Oh my gosh, my friend Chris, who is the owner and creator of Elbow Patties. You know, the Jamaica beef patties.
Oh, yeah.
Those vegan beef patties. Oh, my God. They're so good. It's not sponsored, y'all, but if you do live in Vancouver, go and Google Elbow Patties at ELBOPATTIES and order yourself some of the vegan options. They're so
really
incredible.
Good.
So incredible. Anyway.
Agreed.
So moving right along. That was
like,
the biggest tangent.
Like make it like
LGBTQIA 2S. 2S. We're at the 2S.
Okay.
So the 2S is?
Two-spirit.
Yes.
Correct.
Two-spirit. So my understanding of two-spirit is that in many Indigenous cultures across Turtle Island, also known as North America, is that we have... Some individuals have, like, I guess, one
like parts
sort
of like two, like,
yeah,
they like embody like
both spiritual aspects,
yeah.
I guess, of the spiritual spectrum, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So normally there's like more, I guess, quote unquote, masculine spiritual energies that individuals like it will embody.
Yeah.
And then there are more feminine spiritual entities, and then I guess a two-spirit is that more like encompassing of
both. Yeah. And it's a very like is revered like the correct word?
Revered I think is
like,
the right word.
Yeah,
yeah, it's
like
individuals
it's
who are
like,
two-spirit are seen in high respect, they're held in high respect.
At least that
regard.
Was the case prior to like colonization, wherein like people were forced to like identify as like either male or female, and there was like very like the gendered binary was very much imposed.
Where you have
and so reclaiming that identity is like an act of like resilience too. So
That being said, neither of us are from an Indigenous community, so
that I know of.
Yeah,
that we know of.
That
right?
we know of. Yeah.
So
well,
allegedly. No, I'm joking, but like, yeah.
I'm
like
yeah, I'd be traced by ancestry.com. I'm like, no, I will never
be.
Let
me not be that person. Like, I'm actually
like, we're not that. Go out of your way to find two-spirited Indigenous creators, content creators, would be a great situation.
Or just do your research.
Or just do your research.
And also the concept of like two-spirit identity is something that is present in other Indigenous cultures that are not just like.
North
America.
To Turtle Island. Yeah, I agree.
So there are like in like Hinduism and Buddhism, like you can see like traces of that. Not really sure what the terms specifically are, but like, yeah, it's not like a, I don't know, like unique thing.
It's unique in the sense that, like, it is something to be cherished and valued and, like, honored, but in the terms of, like, is it, does it only occur in one part of the world?
That's what I meant. Yes, exactly.
Is it endemic, I think, would be the word.
Yes, there we go with the vocabulary.
But no, it's not. No, it's not. Perfect. But here we are.
Mm-hmm.
At the
LGBTQ.
The A is for asexual.
Are we at the A for sure?
LGBTQ. Yes, asexual.
Yeah.
So what is your understanding of asexual?
Okay, so asexual for me, I learned a lot of it through like BoJack Horseman. So I know I'm serious. Okay, so for context, I did a double major in HR and social justice studies, which was like actually
and a minor
version.
In horse health.
Shut up. It's actually the shortened version for gender, sexuality, feminist, and social justice studies. So I've like taken classes about, so I know like basically what like asexuality is versus like aromantic. And prior to taking those classes, I thought that like asexual people were like also not interested in like romantic relationships, but you can be either. So you could be like someone who is like not interested in sex or like engaging in sex. But you can be looking for like a romantic partner. And then on the flip side, you can be aromantic, but be interested in like having like sexual relations. And then you could also be like demisexual, which is like another, I don't think it's like included in the acronym, which is maybe where
under
the like,
plus
is. Comes in.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, so like BoJack Horseman really taught me a lot about that. Cause there's one character who is asexual and like, you see him like sort of like come into his like own realization of like being asexual and like be like thinking that like because what's his name?
I don't watch the show for a reference, so I cannot help you here.
Okay, so he's like he's like the human guy. Like I just don't know why I can't.
Oh, there's a human on the show?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah,
okay.
So like most
I
of
might
the
watch
animals,
it.
It's I honestly
just
really
kidding.
Do
no.
love no, I love that show. It. It's a good show. Me like defending this fucking show.
Yeah.
But anyway, like you see him like develop into like his own like identity and stuff. And like at first he like was with someone who was I believe also no, it was like the only asexual person that he knew. So they were like connected on that one level but had nothing in common. And then eventually he like creates this app to like find like other asexuals.
Who, BoJack?
No, like the asexual
oh,
character.
Oh, okay, got it.
I just call him like the human in my mind. Like that's like what
who
he
is. Got it.
And then he like creates this one app to find this like one person. And it's funny. Anyway, I'm not gonna like spoil it, but he ends up finding someone and they're like super cute together. But yeah, they're both asexual, but they're not aromantic, so they're like in a romantic relationship, and it's just like really wholesome and sweet.
I love that.
Yeah.
So did y'all clock that, the difference between asexual and aromantic? I think they did.
I think
if
so.
If you did, not rewind.
Yeah.
Got it.
And I feel like, does it A stand for?
I don't think it's just purely asexual, but I think it's A and then insert.
Like maybe
sort of
asexual is like
the
not the
umbrella,
but like what encompasses that.
A term. Relationship. Or I think it's like a, I don't know, just
yeah.
not, it's supposed to represent something that is like not of
yeah
the standard. That makes
I
sense.
Get that, yeah.
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 Cool.
But we love it.
Yeah.
We love
really
to
do.
See it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I, aromantic individuals are, would just, if having no romantic attraction
yeah.
or not want to engage in romantic
yeah.
behaviors.
But
asexual
then like
individuals
a
would not want
yeah.
to engage in sexual
yeah.
interactions, but
yeah.
they could want that romantic interaction.
Or you could be both.
Or you could be both. And you
yeah.
just don't want anyone to touch you or interact with you, which is very much
I mean,
fine.
In that way, kind of
in that type of
relationship. Right?
Not
like,
anyone.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. yeah.
yeah.
Like, these
yeah.
are people who live, like, full lives and
yeah.
have, like, friends and family members that they love dearly. So,
exactly.
Like, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
But, yeah, there was this TikTok that I saw about, like fuckboys trying to like reclaim like being aromantic and like just people shutting them down.
Oh my gosh,
being, like, what you're
being
doing
shut down
is
on
not
is so funny.
It's the best. It's the best.
It's so funny. Well, did you see that one where it was like all these like fuckboys were trying to be like, oh my gosh, we're super straight or something like that. It was like it was a phenomenon for maybe a month, and then TikTok shut it down. It was like, we are the super straights. And they had like a flag, and it was black and orange, and it was like this whole thing.
It's just so
and
violent.
I was like, y'all are really the most insecure group ever. The super straights. I was like, or it was like the super heteros, or it was like something very like that. I was like, oh, this was messy. It was really messy. You know that one TikTok reader from Canada who like is like the messy TikTok.
I don't follow any of these people.
I don't follow them either.
Or no.
But like, they'll like come across. She has glasses and she is.
Was she the one that's like, tell me this without telling me this?
No. She's the one who's like, she's like, messy TikTok drama you don't want to miss. And then she'll like go into it. Okay.
I'm telling you what I.
Wow. Okay.
Anyway. Then we have the eye. Right? What's the I?
Intersex.
Oh.
Yes, yeah.
Not, oh my gosh, I just thought incognito. That is.
What?
Because I just looked at the screen here and then I saw incognito. I'm like, that's not the word.
Okay.
So, intersex.
So, people born with sexual characteristics, including genitals, gonads, and chromosome patterns that do not fit the typical binary notions of male and female bodies.
Yes.
The official definition.
Yeah.
I just have to look it up.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more of like this umbrella term to describe like a wide range of different, very naturally occurring bodily compositions.
Mm-hmm.
Be that chromosomally, be that physically expressed in their, in the parts that they have.
Yeah. It's like, it's a really important, I feel like the violence that those individuals like experience are like, it's, like, right off the bat at the, like, at birth, and, like...
It's very aggressive, because they're
cause
yeah, consent
like doctors,
is not, yeah.
Consent is not there, and, like, yeah.
Or it's completely stripped, or parents who don't understand, who then take that autonomy away from their children, and, so you have, like, genital mutilation that can happen.
There was literally this, like, a private practice episode that I was watching, so I'm, like, watching that show now. And there was a case with, like, an intersex baby, and they were expecting a boy, but then, like, the baby turned out to be, like, intersex, and so, like, and even just the concept of, like, having a boy is something that's, like, I feel like a little antiquated, because you can't tell someone's gender based off looking at them, and that, like, that's sort of, like, where the issue stems,
the
you know what I mean?
It's
it
so
stems,
bizarre.
way further back than just have, like, the intersex child, you know what I mean? Like, it's our notions of sexuality and of gender and of identity that are, like, just not okay, that makes it so that people who occupy these bodies are automatically seen as, like, not okay or not having to be changed, right?
Yeah.
In ways that are just, because, you
can't
decide that for someone.
And it comes with the erasure of intersex identity, intersex people, right?
Yeah.
Through this very violent means of mutilation from a very young age. And so you have this now societal condition, I guess, where people intersex in, like, identity is not something that is talked about definitely in schools, at least here in North America. And if it is, it's very much within, like, very closed circles. And so it's just like, so it's like part of combating that, right, is providing visibility and protection meaningfully to intersex individuals, right?
I feel like the issue.
It's very
within
structural,
the medical
system,
right? This idea that, like, having a child.
Well, it's based in the binary. You have to be one or the other.
Yeah.
So,
and it's this idea that, like, oh, you have to, like, make your child have these types of genitals so that they're, like, they can identify it with one group. You know what I mean? When I was watching Private Practice, it was like, oh, well, like, imagine how difficult this is going to be for this child when they're, like, asked to go to, like, the locker rooms and, like, swim class and they don't know where to go. That's not, like, a problem in and of itself, right?
Yeah.
The fact that children have to choose which category they're in at all times, like, that binary being reinforced at that stage is not something that should be, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like doctors already preparing people to navigate the world that is so, like, just entrenched in the gender binary. And then seeing fault, obviously, with these children, these babies who are intersex, and that's, like, that's not where the problem lies at all.
Or it's also in the erasure of intersex individuals who have come all the way through, lived their lives, come and stepped into their identity as an adult, and now are facing not only, like, I guess, resistance from the wider world, but even within the queer community of people being like, well, maybe you're trans, or why don't you look at this, or maybe this, like, it's like, I feel as though the, if you, granted, I'm not super well-versed in the intersex experience, but I have watched, you know, a couple videos.
Erica Hart has a really good video about, like, we could link it in the description here, because I really like that. Like,
there was also this event that went on in New York, and it was, like, sort of this, not necessarily, like, a showcase, but almost just, like, a workshop kind of presentation hosted by intersex individuals, and I just learned a lot, not only about, like, what they kind of go through in this society that is so fixated on a definition, and your literal, down to your genetics, do not fit into a binary definition. And so it's like, I think it's even in these adults, right, the deliberate erasure of their experiences, or trying to even categorize them into a way that we can better understand. And it's just like, I think it's just so problematic. We need to just let intersex people tell us what, like, what they need, what they want, what their expectation is, and then you show up and you provide that. It's not like try and mold them or force them into another alphabet letter on the spectrum. It's like, no, because for the longest time that I wasn't even here, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, and even though that I is here now, a lot of people don't even understand what intersex is, right? Even if they know if it is intersex. And so it's just like, I think it's a lot of erasure is experienced by the intersex community. And honestly, I really don't. I'm not a fan. Not a fan.
But I feel like it's also this, like, need to have, like, a one experience to speak to, like, what is it to be intersex? What is it to be this? And it's like, there's not
that's
one
not,
thing, right? That's
intersex
not how
is not monolithic.
Exactly.
It's
no
intrinsically varied, right?
Yeah.
It's like, in its very nature, it is varied. You cannot have... Not to say you cannot have two intersex people with the same genetic makeup, but how that even is expressed, how they're socialized, how they're raised, those things all inform, right, their lived experiences. And it's just like, you're not going to have a duplicate or this monolithic understanding of the intersex community. You literally have to listen to each individual.
And it's also just like, who does that serve, right, to have this, like, I feel like it's just so easy to be like, okay, well, now I know what this is like, and I know what this looks like, but it's like, no, actually, it's varied, and it changes over time, and it's like, the point is not to, like, understand and be like, okay, done and done, and this, we're gonna keep categorizing this as other, right?
Yeah.
LGBTQ, over here, but it's like, no, actually, like, every individual has different experiences, and you can be part of, like, multiple groups within that, so it's just
and again, this touches on one of the reasons why acronyms are so problematic, is because this oversimplification of identities in this way that is like a palatable form to just quickly and easily identify an entire community with has very different experiences, right? Even under each letter, there are such varied experiences because of the intersection of economics, of race, of history, right? Of the legacy of colonialism, right? All of these things intersect differently. And so even under each letter, there's such differences. And so I think it's, I have a big issue with acronyms, but we're not going to talk about that. Let's move it back to the actual content.
It's okay to flow. But I feel like that also speaks to how, like, basic the antithesis or, like, the opposite of that is. You know what I mean?
What do you mean?
Like, the, like, cishet like model is just so, like, there's just nothing, it's very simple,
it's not creative, it's very easy to replicate. That's the idea.
As a tool of white supremacy, like, it has to
be
simple. It has to be that way. And so then that, like,
so I'm not so shocked by it, but yeah.
Yeah, I guess, like, not shocked, but I just, like, it puts into perspective how, like, not creative white supremacy is, right?
Not
and the
creative.
Need for people to just be this, like, the standard is just so meh.
No, I feel you.
Yeah.
My vibes.
That makes sense.
No, it does. It does.
Yeah.
LGBTQQ. Okay, so Q. The Q is like a Q squared. I think there are three Qs, but I can only speak to two Qs right now, which is queer and questioning.
Yeah.
So questioning, from my understanding, could be a wide range of things, being questioning your sexual experiences, questioning your romantic obligations,
mm-hmm.
questioning your love language, questioning
yeah.
your gender expression, questioning
yeah.
your gender identity,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Queer is also similarly another umbrella where it literally just defines anything different.
Mm-hmm.
So I think oftentimes it gets just like squashed into one queue, but I do think that there is a difference between queer and questioning, because I think that there is movement attached to one and not the other. I feel as
mm-hmm.
though inhabiting queerness is not necessarily to say stagnant, but it's like, it's more confined in that it's like a, you're occupying that umbrella fully.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas questioning is more of like a movement. You're like, you're figuring things out and you're occupying that umbrella, but it's not as though you're not staying still in that umbrella.
You're
yet.
Like
you're
on
like,
a contract.
Yeah.
The end date is like undetermined, but you don't have like a permanent full time position yet. You know,
mm.
that's how I'm putting it in
metaphor.
My HR.
Yeah. Like
brain.
Wow.
Like,
I'm like okay, the HR brain. Yeah.
You're still like
and
in
then
the
queer would be like
know?
You have a contract and you know that the contract
it's
terms
permanent
is
full-time.
Queer.
Yeah. yeah.
And you don't necessarily need to know everything that it is,
yeah.
but you know that that's the umbrella that you have decided.
And you're good to go.
Whereas
you,
questioning
you
is like
it,
you're
like
more in transition. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Because
yeah.
You could stay under questioning. You could move into queer. You could
yeah.
go to any of
you
the other letters.
Time,
you could,
right?
You could transfer to another department.
Extended.
To the L, to the G, to
yeah,
the T.
Exactly.
Right.
To maybe. Multiple ones. Right. You could wear multiple hats.
But,
yeah.
Potentially.
Yeah.
You know. So yeah. Nice. I hope you follow that metaphor. No, that was an analogy. We were trying to make a specific point.
Yeah, I think we did.
Yeah.
LGBT.
T. Transgender. Trans identity. Trans people. I don't know. I just want to keep saying the word trans. Let's
yeah.
live it up. Yeah, I don't know. What do I want to say about this? Trans,
so,
there's so much we could say about this.
So trans, I guess, like, the, I don't know, basic definition would be someone whose gender is different than the sex assigned to them at birth. So it within the, like, model that we have of, like, within the gender binary, when you are born, you are supposed to be sex female or male at birth, right? And we've explained already that there are some people who don't necessarily quite neatly fall into either category, because that's not how, like, whatever.
The world works.
The world works.
Yeah.
There you go. And then if you are sex male, then you are assumed to be a girl that is going to become a woman. And if you are sex male, you are assumed to be, you're going to grow up to be a boy that's going to grow up into a man. However, for transgender people, that is not necessarily the case. So you may be sex as male, and then you are actually a girl, and you grew up to be a woman. And so, like, it's like trans as in different than. And then, like, I don't know. I didn't know when I learned about trans identity, I didn't know about, like, cisgendered, and, like, cis being the prefix for same
mm-hmm.
or similar as. And so then, like, that's really just the thing there. So, like, trans being different than, and then cis being the same as. That's a very, very basic.
The very basic, yeah. We're
yeah.
going to the words.
Yeah. Just
if we were
word,
to
yeah.
talk about, like, transgender experiences,
yeah.
I mean, neither of us are trans, so
no. yeah,
can't speak to that. I mean, if we speak to the yeah. phenomena of how, as a society, right, we
yeah.
there's this constant theme, as you'll notice, throughout the LGBT. The closer we get to the L, actually, the further away that we will get from this theme. But this theme of erasure that...
Yes. Oh my gosh, yeah, that's a really good one.
This theme of erasure,
yeah.
right, that because for so long, right, we have existed in this, but well, that's not true, but as white supremacist society has imposed
yeah.
right, that the transgender experience, the experiences of transgender individuals, transgender men and transgender women, transgender non-binary people, these individuals have been not only like ignored, but actively pushed to the side.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this active pushing to the side through a devaluing of their experiences, through a
ignoring their contributions
to history,
right? Like a lot of the
yeah.
like, movements within the LGBT
through an over sexualization
yeah. yes.
of their
yeah.
bodies, right? All of
yeah.
these things are just ways in which we actively
and
as a society push transgender individuals to the side.
Sensationalism, or the sensationalism of the transgender experience.
Fetishized. I would say more of
the
a fetishization,
okay.
because it's like it's the ways in which transgender bodies are fetishized and sexualized that then leads to harm. But I would
yes.
say
I was also talking in like media. What was that? There was that really good documentary.
Oh,
on
you mean how it's? Oh, I think I see what you're saying. Oh, Disclosure.
Disclosure.
That
yes,
was really
we will
good.
Link this
yeah.
in the description as well. That to me was like, because you notice it how like they're like the lines and the like storylines for trans characters are very much like with like built within the idea of like of non-disclosure, as in like
yeah.
so this presumption, especially when it comes to like. Trans women, this idea that they're not disclosing their like transgender identity, and that's not typically the case, and that's also rooted in violence because it's like you're assuming that like these individuals are then like tricking cis het people into believing that they are women when they are
women.
And
also,
you know what I mean?
and also
do,
stems
like,
from
like,
an
yeah.
understanding of transgender individuals as like not genuine, like you genuinely don't
yeah.
view them as authentic or
yeah.
full individuals worthy
because
of your
like
respect and consideration. Yeah, it's like
yeah.
this individual that you can see as something so far separate from your own humanity
yeah.
that you then can treat with any which way, with
yeah.
act
which
so
madly,
which is where that violence
yeah.
comes in,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And I think that you bring up a really interesting topic, right? This idea of disclosure.
Yeah.
And there was a TikTok that actually Bob the Drag Queen made that
yeah.
really got like, I mean, I very much understand, but it was like, it was this TikTok that I was like, I tell you, I was like, this is the energy that needs to be held moving forward.
Say?
He turns to the camera and he looks at me and he goes, you know what? From now on, if you're cis,
yeah, you have to.
If you're cis, you have to disclose that shit to me before we hook up. You
yeah.
have to. You have to disclose that shit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. So I'm not into this idea of like pressuring people to talk about things that are very sensitive when they don't need to. But I like that this is the energy that you're bringing.
No,
like,
yeah.
And
put
like
that burden on.
If this is what cis people
yeah.
are expecting, bitch, you best be
yeah.
disclosing all your relationships. You know what I'm
yeah.
saying? It's like
if you're
having that energy, yeah.
position to be like.
You
need to disclose
that
like,
to me.
No, actually, bitch. Like, you come to me with
you
that.
You need
energy.
To come to me.
You tell me.
Be like,
who
oh,
you
I,
are.
I,
yeah.
I, I'm cis.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
need to disclose that.
Yeah.
You need
yeah.
to disclose that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Because also that idea is like rooted in the idea that like the trans experiences is monolithic and that like your because I feel like typically when people think about that they're thinking about like you revealing what your genitalia is or what your situation there is.
Yeah.
And it's like. That's not all of what trans people are is like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, so it just like already is flawed as a concept and also just rooted in like sexual violence there. So
it's very much rooted
yeah.
in sexual violence. It's very much rooted in the patriarchy
yeah.
and the ways in which men feel
yeah,
ownership and entitlement over the physical bodies that femmes occupy
yeah.
and women occupy. I think it's just, yeah, it's all so sinisterly connected
yeah.
and fed by white supremacist delusion.
Yeah.
So,
and a lot of people who like are not white
can uphold this
people
because black men do this all the time, all the time.
And, no, even like femmes as well, and like
oh,
women, like
yeah.
cis women.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I often
oh my gosh,
like,
the turfs.
It's
the
good,
turfs
yeah.
of it all.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
For if you just start hearing this word turf and you're like,
yeah.
what the fuck are you saying? It stands for.
Trans
exclusionary radical feminist. So people like J.K. Rowling who like believe that feminism is important but don't believe that trans women are women. So
yeah.
it's like your feminism is bullshit if it only includes cis white women.
Yeah,
like,
so it's like trans misogyny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, very much. And I would also argue more so internalized patriarchy, because you're literally causing violence onto other women because of your perceived power and status over them. It's very, very fucked up. And I'm like, for individuals to sit on the side of feminism and then to use the weapons of patriarchy, it just seems very, like, how delusional can y'all get?
Yeah.
Truly.
But I mean, like, even on the more subtle ways, so, like, that's a very, like, J.K. Rowling is a very, like, obvious.
Yeah.
But, like, even just, like, in the language that we use, like, a lot of people, like, I've seen a few friends about, like, parenting, and they'd be like, oh, like, drop your, like, mom and dad pics below, and it's like, why can't you just say parents? You know?
Yeah,
like,
the word, like the way that we even, the gendered language we use is so embedded in our society. And this is just in English. I can't even begin, I can't begin to feel how suffocating it would be.
Yeah.
Right? To exist within a much more restrictive,
more
Latin language, like French or Spanish.
Yeah.
Or, you know, where it's just like,
yeah,
there is the binary
there,
so like
as you're
intentionally embedded in literally everything. Everything is gendered. Everything is like, just that would throw me through a loop lot, because I'm just like, the way, imagine coming to, and then
I think it also depends when you learn these languages.
That's true.
Because like for me, French, like I know that like everything is gendered, and I could tell you like in chaise versus whatever.
Yeah.
But like to me, I don't actually see it, and like it was always like a silly thing to me that I was like, oh, like it's just like a.
But like, that's the way when we infantilize, when, right? These tools of white supremacy,
yeah,
it's so dangerous, because it then suggests that, oh, it's like a ha ha hee hee, and that words don't mean things.
But like inanimate objects, that's what I mean. Like when it came to inanimate objects, I was like, but if you unpack that,
you'll see that there are certain trends in which inanimate objects are feminized versus which are masculinized. And I think it's like, I don't know. I think that there if you were to unpack it,
you would find some very much problematic stuff. I gotta do this right now. La table. Okay.
Table.
La chaise.
So service.
A chair.
Yeah.
Okay.
Placement.
La,
what about a TV?
La plante. It's like a plant, right?
Yeah. Okay.
La télévision, like the TV.
Yeah.
What are masculine ones? Le pot, right? Le pot, like the pot that like holds the plant.
So the thing that holds the feminine energy.
Is that
what you're saying?
Because we just you're not wrong.
You're not wrong.
Le cadre, le cadre, which like holds the image. La peinture qui est dans le cadre. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, that's them. Okay.
You could trace.
No, la lumière, right? Like light, but you know. I don't know. Le miroir. Yeah. I'm sure there are studies in that, and like that
I'm
would
sure
be
there are ways
to,
in linguistics. To
look into,
because
I've never thought of doing that. That's another way in which like language is just depending on the language that you speak, where it's like the gender binary can be embedded in it.
Yeah.
And
people don't understand, like, language is a tool to inform, to control, to disseminate knowledge, to mobilize information. So it's like, people be like, oh, that word doesn't matter, or my pronouns don't matter. Da, da, da. I'm like, no, words mean things. Like, words, they mean things. And we need to be more intentional about the words we use. You know what I'm saying? Like, oof. It's, that stuff gets me really going.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to trans experiences. I think that there is also something to be said about the ways in which, as a society, we have sort of placed specific, like, human, I guess, biophysical processes with certain gender roles, right? So we now have these instances where, like, trans men, for example, who maybe have uteruses, right, who don't have, who no longer would qualify for access to,
like, healthcare
products, for like feminine hygiene, like what have you, right? And even in that wording,
even
in the categorizing,
hygiene,
right? It's like the feminine hygiene. No, it could literally just be hygiene. Like,
yeah, but
it's
that's
like
something that you also have to like actively just like learn clock and change. Like,
yeah.
Things like saying, like, I now say, like, people with periods. Or,
that's what I mean.
Like,
that's what I'm getting
just,
at there. Yeah.
Incorporating
like,
that language. And
only
not
femmes
having...
could be pregnant, or only women can be
yes.
pregnant. Like, that
all
is
women
so...
deserve, like, five
no.
days off a year for, like, whatever.
And I'm like, there
and
are
it's
men.
Like, well, there
that
are men who
can
menstruate, or they're, like, non binary
as well.
Too. Exactly.
Yeah.
And then I feel as though, the, like, yeah, that just needs to be, I feel like, normalized across the board.
Yeah,
and it's strange to me that like people see it as like, oh my gosh, I love how this was like inclusive, and it's like, yeah, that's how it should be. Like that's just how it should be, and like let's just like move on. You know what I mean? Like just like let's keep going and keep, you know. But unfortunately, I feel like it's not at the front of a lot of people's minds when they're thinking about things.
No, because a lot of people stop themselves from thinking about things because they will literally create hurdles for themselves. They will be like, oh, what do you mean not, or do you mean people with periods? Because you're telling me that they're trans, so then they trans, and well, then this is their identity. And like, people will do all the bigoted workarounds to try and stop themselves from actually recognizing the human. They'll create barriers to be like, oh, well, this is something that I can't get over. And then if you manage to work around that, then they'll get to the next thing that'll bury them. And it's just like, when you have conversations with these individuals, you just recognize, you're like, oh, you just don't see
you're just
humanity. Yeah,
yeah,
you're just transphobic.
You're
you don't
transphobic,
see humanity in
yeah.
people who are trans. And so
yeah.
it's like, that's wild. That's wild. And this idea too of like passing, which is so embedded in pretty privilege, and it's so embedded in European beauty standards. It's embedded in just how we as a society prioritize appearance over substance. And I think it's just like, it's so incredibly
it
problematic
like
because it
places the like validity of your identity on
in
like,
your
how
in how
other
people physically
people
perceive you as opposed to what you tell
yeah,
them
yeah,
is
yeah.
you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like that is such a that is so and I yeah, it's like it's just so heartbreaking and very frustrating
yeah.
because it's like there'll be people like you, there'll be people like me, people who are part of the Alphabet Mafia who are just existing, doing the most,
yeah.
and like breaking these sort of notions,
mm-hmm.
these very problematic notions. But it's like, I just hate that there is this, how do I want to word it? It's like this very violent almost need, right, to be visible, to be accessible to people who can cause you harm in order to change the very nature of the collective that is causing you harm. And I think that is so,
well,
it's so stupid. It's so
yeah.
stupid that is something that exists within our reality, that as human beings,
mm-hmm.
that it's just shown time and time again, for the most problematic individuals to improve, they must be exposed to the things that they can cause violence and harm to.
No.
And I'm like,
yeah.
I'm like, okay, that is so messed up. That is so messed up. And that being a reality, I'm like, there's no scenario for me in which trans individuals who don't want to be visible should be forced into sight,
yeah.
into visibility. You know what I'm saying? So it's like this idea of disclosure, this idea of having to pass, this idea
but
of what
this
it's
idea
like,
of like wanting like the curiosity around someone's transition, right?
Oh,
like, oh, could you show like what was it like doing this or asking those like questions as though. And I feel like it, like, otherizes that individual.
It
right?
does.
And then
yeah.
those experiences as in, like, this, like, fascinating thing that you can just, like, learn about and be like, oh, wow, this is so cool. But, like, then not having that same energy when it comes to the violence that these individuals face.
Are
right?
faced with,
and
yes, or the ways that you could
and,
help them,
exactly.
right? And it's like, if
it's
trans
like,
individuals
yeah.
are exposing themselves in this way to educate you, right? To provide you with that insight into their experience,
yeah.
the very least you could do is then to take that knowledge, right? Fuel your then own learning and
yeah.
also, like, you
clock
need to
the people around
you need
you
to
clock.
Go and
yeah.
be like, hey, like,
yeah.
I also need to show up for you.
Yeah.
As you, the individual
yeah.
who just done opened my whole eyes,
yeah.
as my whole world has done shifted, I need to show up for you in the
yeah.
way you just showed up for my brain
yeah.
and opened its freaking expanded its,
yeah.
you know what I'm saying? I like,
and it's in really subtle ways too. Like I remember like one of my cousins had posted something along the lines, there was like someone who, like a trans woman, I'm assuming, and they were like, I don't know, commenting on their appearance and just being like, oh, like, you're not a woman kind of thing, but like in a joking manner. And there were like other family members that had like, you know, commented, and I was like, and I took him, and I, like, for a second, I was like, oh, I could just, like, pretend like I didn't see it, because then I wouldn't have to comment.
Yeah, no.
And then I was like, nah, that would be me being complicit in that system. And, like, worst case, like, I get, like, whatever I could get from them, it's not nearly
worst case,
anything
not be
compared
near,
to what people
not be near the
saying.
Violence that this
exactly
this culture,
this
socialization
yeah.
of transphobia,
yeah.
that will lead to, you're
exactly.
right, you're
so
right,
I was
right.
like, you know what,
Let's
no, I had to. And then I was surprised that I was met with, like, they're like, oh, okay, so then, okay, I get it. And I was like, okay, so then you did know that what you said was out of pocket. And
you just thought,
what would
say,
you have done if no one
talked
to you?
You
know what
you
I mean?
What and, that's,
and I was like, y'all, I took every single one of them. I'm like, this is a no-go. And I'm like, now I'm on Facebook a little more often. I'm like, because this no.
I'm not on Facebook for that reason. I'm like, y'all be posting
yeah,
the most
space,
cringy.
Yeah.
Not talking about Facebook, talking about trans experiences.
Yes. I feel like we've talked about a few different things with regards to like but again
yeah,
like we're not like trans
yeah,
people
yeah.
So, like definitely do your research. We will plug a few like resources here on in the episode so you could get to that.
LGB. So LGB, where the B, the bi, which stands for,
just say that you have a lot to say about the B.
But M to the B, M to the B, M to the B, bisexual. That's for
bisexual. Yeah.
So I used to have some very strong opinions about the B, which is why I myself identify as a pansexual.
Wait, where's the P?
There is no P.
I just realized
I
that
know,
now. What the heck?
I know. Anyway.
That's so silly.
Y'all, so when we say language matters, this is where we're going to get into some very
I feel
complex
like the B
conversation.
Be for P.
But
I
we're
feel
gonna,
like.
But we're gonna get
some
complexity.
Know.
We're getting some complexity
okay,
because
LGBTQ.
So the way that the bisexual community for a long time has presented both in media, which I mean you don't entirely have control of, vis-a-vis apropos trans media representation, right? But even interacting with bi people growing up, my experiences with bisexual people, again, bisexuality is not monolithic, so we're just trying to add some nuance to this, which is like very much rooted in this idea of duality and recognition of the gender binary, right? And it was very much for me, my understanding, at least growing up, was that bisexuality was rooted in the gender binary, that it was not it, only acknowledging it, but it was saying that we find physical attraction or relationships or romantic attraction, whatever have you, with the quote unquote both, being more masculine or man or more feminine slash femme and women.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was sort of how I understood bisexuality for a very long time, right? And so for me, having that understanding of bisexuality and also questioning my own gender expression, I knew that I didn't vibes with this idea of reinforcing the binary, because I myself didn't feel as though I would belong to a part of the binary. And so I think that for me, right, that led me down this path of exploring alternative terms to define myself and describe myself. And that's when I came across the term pansexual, which is simply just defined, right, as being, finding attraction to individuals, period. And it's not based off of gender. It's not based off of like how they're physically presented. It's literally just like finding attraction in something else. And usually, I mean, for the most case, it's humans, but granted, like, pansexual is, like, if I'm being honest, y'all, the first time I did hear about the term pansexual was with Deadpool, who was this superhero that I'm sure you all know of, and he identifies as pansexual in the comics. Anyway, he has, like, sex with this, like, alien who can teleport, and then all his friends on Earth were like, what were you thinking? And he's like, I'm pansexual. I just, like, I'm attracted to whoever I'm attracted
funny.
To. And I was like, that tracks for me. Like, I'm not out here being like, oh, I'm attracted to horses, you know what I'm saying? But I'm like, This is getting very weird, very dark. I'm painting this in a very bad picture.
Let me put a worse sound right now. Jamie, ooh.
But I'm just saying, it's like, you just go with what your feelings of attraction are, and you don't let any other sort of thing influence that attraction or limit it or prevent it from happening. You like explore it because you were, that initial attraction was sparked, right?
Got it.
So that's sort of my understanding of it.
Yeah.
Then come to like 2020, around, it was literally around last year, but all of a sudden, okay, and clock me if I'm wrong, y'all, but the bisexual community got like very particularly vocal about this commitment to the binary, if you will. And then I started seeing a lot more content produced by bisexual content creators who were like, well, bisexuality doesn't just mean two things. It means, you know, it was like much more trying to change it to.
It's literally in the word, though.
Exactly.
Like,
so
you can't come out.
I feel as though a lot of like bisexual content creators were like redefining it to fit under a more pansexual kind of definition.
Yeah.
That being said, okay, there are two things to that. We will say this time and time again, words mean things.
Yeah.
The history of words, language, linguistics, those mean things and they hold value.
Yeah.
Specifically because they hold collective understanding. And so what makes words powerful is the amount of individuals who can collectively attach meaning to that word.
Mm-hmm.
And so bi in a variety of languages across history and even now literally brings you back to two. Brings you back to division, okay? If we look at how, and again, the other side of this coin, though, is if this is what the bisexual community is saying, if this is what they're defining themselves as, listen, point blank, period. If this is what the bisexual community is presenting as, no, actually, it's not, I'm not only attracted to people who identify as men and people who identify as women, that is including transgender men and women, it includes non-binary people, it includes transgender non-binary people, it includes intersex. If that's what they're saying is their definition, I will listen to that and I will hear that and I will respect that. But in terms of like how I have formed my own understanding, my own sexual identity around pansexuality, because I found it to be a more sort of genuine representation of my romantic and sexual relationships, I was like, okay, I'm gonna go with that. But if bisexuality is something that does vibe with you more so, or you feel comfortable with that, go with that. But I would just encourage you to question it, to explore it.
I feel like if the, like if the acronyms were to be like revised today, I feel like the B would have been swapped for a P, and then under the P there would be bisexual.
Yeah, it would be in my mind,
it makes more sense to have pansexuality be, because it's like,
it's more of an umbrella.
Of an
if
umbrella
we're trying to do an umbrella thing.
Because like, it doesn't
make
sense to have the umbrella term be like encompassed under bisexuality. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Because, and I know that it's also like by nature of like time
and
like
history,
with more information,
the way
like
things
change.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So it's like, that's normal. But I think that like I have also seen like people like want to die on that hill. And I'm like, I don't, I'm not, I'm also not going to
say shit. I will never say
shit.
I will never jump into your DMs
just,
and be like, you
I'm
said
like,
this about being bisexual. I disagree.
Yeah.
No, if you're bisexual, this is what you're saying. This
Great.
Is your experience.
Great.
That's your life.
Great.
Yeah. But in terms of like, yeah.
Yeah. There are like remnants.
There's
guess,
nuance
the,
here that
yeah.
we can explore.
Yeah.
But also adding more nuance to this, right, is that, again, bi- people who have identified as bisexual have been deliberately erased for a long time. For
yes.
so long,
especially
people didn't even believe in bisexuality.
Men or mass.
Oh, especially if the individuals are more masculine presenting.
Yeah.
People do not, like, for a long time, and for and even today,
today,
a lot of people don't believe in the concept of bisexuality or pansexuality.
Yeah.
They are like, you have to like one more than the
yeah.
other. There's no way it could be 50%. And you know what? There are some, there are people who where it's not 50%. Maybe it's 70-30. Maybe it's 20-80. Maybe it's 60-40. That shouldn't matter. There are people who exist who are telling you that what governs their sexual and romantic relationships is not gender.
Yeah.
That's what you should listen to. And people are like, no, that's not possible. Because for me, gender is the most important thing defining my sexual and romantic interactions. And I'm like, again, rooted in the binary and rooted in violence.
I think also like in straight spaces, the way that like that has been reinforced in my experience, like being in those spaces is when people ask things like, well, would you date a guy who was bisexual?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, yeah, of course. And then, or people being like, would you date a guy who was trans? And I'm like, I like guys. So I'm going to, any, like.
Anyone who identifies.
If they're into me, like.
So
like for reference, let's take a reference. So in Insecure, there's like Molly, that character.
Oh my gosh, yeah, this
starts
really
dating.
Got me.
So like she had, I think she like had kissed one of her like classmates who was a girl. Molly is a girl, like a female character, whatever. She's a woman, and so she starts dating this guy who like is like really into her, like all this jazz. And then he's like, oh, I also had a similar experience in college. And then she's like, what do you mean you had a similar experience in college? And he was like, oh, like, I, like, you know, like, hooked up with this, like, guy. And she was like, what? Like, and she was, like, flabbergasted. Like, she couldn't finish her meal. She's like, well, what did you do? Like, all of these questions. And it's like, girl, this is all rooted in biphobia. And I would say even, like, in homophobia specifically. And this, like, idea that, like, his... And, like, this person is not even bisexual. This person literally had an experience. And even if...
That's the thing,
that's
too,
the
is
problem,
that we live in a
you know?
World where people are not even given the chance to explore, to exist within the queue, the questioning part of this umbrella,
yeah.
You know, which I genuinely think that everyone is inherently under that part, first and foremost.
Mm-hmm.
And as you grow and as you experience and as you develop, you then find yourself into a different letter, sure.
Yeah.
But everyone is inherently questioning because...
Yeah. It
there's no
be,
way you can
be
born
no,
and
be
you
born
know
yeah.
without a shadow of a doubt how you can be satisfied romantically and sexually in through life. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's no way.
Yeah.
There's no way that you are born and inherently know. And there's no way that you are born and grow up, right, to be 15, 16, 17, right? And only, and it just matches what you were told would be. You know what I'm saying? There's just no way that that is actually what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that so many people are just put into this position where they get to the age where they're starting to explore themselves, what they want, what they
mm-hmm.
need. And then it doesn't match with what they were told they should be expecting.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not given the freedom to question or not given the support to question and explore. And then they get to like 35 and then they go and kill trans women during their cheating on their wife phase of a business trip. You know what I'm saying? It's like, this is why we got here. This is all, it's all linked, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, people just see the end. They see the violence and they're like, how could this happen? And it's like, it's because you didn't let Tommy put on a dress in grade 4. It's because you didn't let, you know, Malcolm wear heels when he was curious. Or it's because you decided that you would man up,
yeah.
you know what I'm saying? It's like, it's the ways in which we aggressively and violently enforce gender onto
mm-hmm.
children that tells them that they are in a world of constriction and you can't explore.
Yeah.
That then
gender and also sexuality.
And sexuality,
like,
too.
The way that people say, like, oh, like, my son just gonna be a little heartbreaker. And I'm like, that's, or like, in reference to like all the little girlfriends that they have. And I'm like, I don't, like, oh yeah, and the boyfriends too, and they're like, oh, no, what do you mean, like, no boyfriend, and it's like, see, like, this is the problem.
Well,
like,
this is the thing, it's like, as
conversation.
Human society, I've yet to see successful examples in which children especially can have authentic and genuine, not necessarily sexual experiences, but can exist sexually authentically and have it not be demonized or on the flip side hypersexualized right to the and that's the only the only routes that I see in most practice, at least here in North America, where it's like children are either hypersexualized from the jump and so they can't exist authentically within a sexual identity, but it's imposed and it's not self-discovered and it's not authentic, or it's this idea of innocence and you cannot exist or have a sexual identity until some weirdly non-existent age that for whatever reason we are all collectively saying is what, 18 or 16, depending on where you were, what kind of household you were raised in. So it's just like,
well, we're also speaking to what we know, right?
Yeah,
the other thing too, we're staying in our lane. So
anyway, so the gays. What do we want to say about the gays? I really don't want to spend much time. The gays, I feel as though, have a lot going for them in North America.
What do you mean?
I think that, okay, so maybe let's backtrack. When I was growing up, that was certainly not the case, right? So when we were younger, like, being gay or, like, being sexually interested in masculinity was, as a masculine presenting individual,
mm-hmm.
was very much a no, was very much something you could get bullied for, you could get violently, like, beat up for,
yeah.
depending on the environment you were in, you could feel ostracized for. So I think that being gay has definitely shifted within my lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, I think that I've almost seen within my lifetime this
kind of, in my lifetime,
and it's literally been what 26 years.
It's killing me.
Within
my
lifetime, I've seen this almost hyper prioritization
yeah.
of the gay experience, namely as
yeah.
the experience of this alphabet mafia, or as the sort of
yeah.
mascot, the loudest voice, the most impacted group of the LGBTQIA2S+ community.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it's like, on one hand, right, growing up super queer, not even understanding my identity, but being attracted to both femininity and masculinity, regardless
yeah.
of who occupied it, I was like, oh my gosh, okay, like, I like this change, right?
Yeah,
it's allowing
like a
me
part
to allow
of, like,
me to be a more authentic part of myself. But on the other hand, you're also like,
it's laughing.
Very,
it's just like
it
not
was,
a complete.
It was. It didn't feel. Like, yeah. Very
yeah.
like inclusive of all everyone who was gay.
But it's
right.
Quite,
it
like,
was like
tokenizing as well, though.
Yeah.
Like in media, you'll see like a lot of the like when you have like a gay, like even the term gay, like it's used often as a like almost a substitute for like queer, in the sense that like you just
yeah.
assume that like. That it could be anyone under that umbrella, when in reality,
but the assumption is always
like, you don't
gay.
Have that when it comes to like lesbian,
yeah.
right? You're not just like, oh yeah, they're lesbian, and it's like just like this, I don't know, like a guy who's like masked or something like that.
Well,
like,
that's
you wouldn't have
yeah.
that. It's kind of like the term using the term like guys to refer to a group of people, and you're just like, oh hey guys, da da da, but you wouldn't say like hey ladies, like just that, like. But it's assumed that it's okay to just make
I
that
I think
assumption,
you're hitting
you know?
Something very interesting here. I think you're hitting something very interesting here. We should work through it. It's this way in which, yeah, the
like
that
kind
of title
like,
of
yeah.
gay, right?
Yeah.
How masculinity, how patriarchy is intersecting here, and how that is assumed for every letter after the
yeah.
G, right? And
yeah.
how you can occupy any one of these specific identities,
yeah.
but as soon as it's not
yeah.
the L, it's the G.
Yeah.
And I think that there's something very interesting there also about how the history of this acronym switched, because the G used to be at the
yeah.
front, and then it wasn't until the very vocal white women who come, well, not solely
no.
white women, I don't want to erase the work of Black femmes, specifically Black lesbian women in New York, who also had a lot to do
mm-hmm.
with the switching of the arrangement. But I just think it's interesting in which the ways and how we can kind of even see this
even
sort of pseudo-protection,
yeah.
almost,
yeah.
pseudo-separation of femininity,
mm-hmm.
and then this blanket application of masculinity.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of, it's very interesting how that's even played out in this acronym.
Yeah.
I'm
like,
trying to work through it. I'm not seeing all the dots here perfectly, but I feel like there is something, there's something connecting this
yeah,
to...
I like it's layered, of course,
yeah.
but like it's taking me to like I recently in like the last few years learned about like lesbophobia,
mm-hmm.
and in the past, like when I would see instances of like discrimination towards like lesbian women or lesbian individuals, I would say that it was homophobia. And then
but
someone was like,
yeah.
that's for the specific experiences of gay individuals, but when you're speaking to lesbian
women
and femmes,
it's because
lesbophobia,
misogyny
because of nature,
is, yeah.
exactly, because it's like it's occupying there's like a piece of
it's like imposed gender on
that
you
comes
yeah.
into it as
and
well
then,
and it's not just the like discrimination of the fact that you
are in a same-sex
yeah.
relationship, but it's also the fact that you
yes.
are a woman
okay.
in a same-sex
yeah.
relationship.
Yeah, so it's the
that's
idea
the
that
idea.
Like the same-sex experience is
monolithic not,
right?
Yeah.
And that, like, the term homophobia or, like, the term gay could then encompass both.
It's,
or become,
yeah.
encompass all of them, which is the danger, right?
Which is the danger.
Like,
and
it erases the experiences of other people. And then you lack that nuance to speak to those very specific instances, which is why, even in having this conversation, we're, like, trying
to
figure out the words,
it out. Because
it's,
like,
it's just, like, so common of a
lesbophobia. It's a very apt point, and I think that there is similar threads that we can draw. Again, I'm not trying to not equate, but similar threads in terms of the ways in which patriarchy is imposed upon feminine individuals and women, right, and how that forces more critical consideration of how their identity is experienced. And I think that that's why we also have terms like misogynoir, because it's not just how misogyny is experienced, but it's how that specific experience is then also informed by my racial identity, right? And I think it's nowhere near the same, but similar in the sense that, like, you can't apply same-sex relationships as a blanket term, because everyone who's occupying a same-sex relationship you know what I'm saying? It's not just women, it's not just men, it's very much, like, we've already acknowledged that there are not just two genders, so even in that,
In the term, like, this is something that I was thinking about, like, when I was doing my bachelor's, was just, like, the term same-sex also, because it's not actually referring to your sex per se, it's referring to your gender. So, identity, like, technically, it would be, like, same gender relationships, but, like, that's another story for another time, right? Because language, right? Because if you say same sex, I know that you're referring to gender, right?
Yeah.
But then, like, even in having conversations around gender, like, explaining it to people, it's like, then, it is, like, I don't know, it's just, like, it's, a lot to, like, unpack and, like, learn about, but...
And then it's also when you even, if you did, and that's what the thing too, is why we say language is important and words matter, because if you did try and break it down or make it more inclusive through that same format, right, same gendered, but I don't think it would hold up, because then could you ever use that? Could you ever use that in an applicable setting? Sorry, just
even non-binary, right? Like, it's not
there would be so many.
Same.
Yeah, exactly. Even with non-binary, you don't have two identical versions of a non-binary identity. Some individuals are identifying as non-binary because they feel as though they fluently move between both masculine and feminine societal
and
gender roles. There are others who feel like they exist outside of it. Some exist within some other combination of it. So I think, even then I'm like, how applicable would a term like same gender be, given that we know the nuance and complexities of gender? And then it's like, okay, so then we need to just actually be more critical and just stop using terms that logically cannot follow through into a new language format, right? It's
you're
like,
not wrong on that, because I'm also that's a lot, because I'm just like, you wouldn't even be able to say, because like
you
if you were to say like not straight, then in a sense you are still like centering that sort of experience within it, but like I am taking it to like with the term, I don't know, with the term POC, like, that's one reason why I don't like that term, and, like, I rather just, for me, I refer to, like, Black people or non-Black people, right? Like, in a lot of instances.
Yeah.
Because the term POC is just so, like, it's
so umbrella,
broad,
again,
right?
Back to the problem of acronyms.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Where it's, like, no one experience really fits, and then when I'm trying to...
And then it's actually more of a tool of erasure than
visualization. Actually,
and, and representation, so it's very complex, because it's like well, where do we win if we can't even get the acronym?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But
if
like I think that
like
the thing that we have to remember is that like all of this exists as a, I feel like, counter narrative to the mold that has been in place onto many of us as a result of colonization.
Mm-hmm.
So like cisgendered identity, heterosexualism or heterosexuality, right?
Yeah.
And like relationships that are both monogamous as well, that's something that we haven't spoken about, and also relationships that are like both asexual and that are both sexual and romantic at once, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because we know that that's not necessarily the experience for everyone, but that's sort of like the dominant narrative that has been pushed. And then, but it just it's a very simple sort of this, that, and the other, right? And then the counter to that is everything that is not this experience that shows how much, like, how restrictive this one narrative is, if that makes sense.
So I feel like when we're trying
to define all of these other things, it's obviously going to become like, oh shit, the language here, the language here.
It's not going to
work. Because it's like, we're working on, we're creating...
With the backbone that was, that didn't
just,
support us from the jump.
Yeah.
And so we have to create new bones, new words, new structures. And that's, I think, why you get so much resistance, especially because people not only they hate change generally, but if you're telling them they have to learn new words, they have to learn new language to communicate with people, they're like, no. And that's the thing that really pisses me off, too, is because it's like, intrinsically a part of the human experience is change, is a shift. You could identify as one thing in your 20s and something else in your 30s and another thing in your 40s. And guess what? You're going to live to like 80 something. So hopefully, right? So the entire gag is that we are constantly shifting, but people only feel comfortable when there is stagnation or when there's concrete definitions. And I'm like,
why is it that you feel so, why is it that there's so much pushback, right? Is it because it's going so far outside of what you've been taught that you yourself are like, oh, it's like, it's bubbling, it's changing something within you.
I think that's what
and
it
that's
is.
Internalized,
yeah.
It's internalized hatred for these different groups that you may be a part of, but that you never allowed yourself to really, B. We're on the L.
No, we weren't.
Yeah, we were on the L.
I don't think so.
Yeah. I feel like that's
No, we were on the G, because I started off with gay, and then I was like, in my lifetime, I've seen the gay
Okay, I
change.
Feel like y'all know that we have also been talking about the L, though.
Well,
maybe this
is
an example of what we were literally talking about, like the erasure of that experience.
But in case we didn't say it, the L stands for lesbians.
Yes. That is what the L stands for. I would assume that most of you are aware of that. Hopefully.
You should definitely see some... Well, actually, I don't know the name of the film, so maybe I should do some research beforehand before recommending things to you.
What film?
But there was this film I saw. The premise is essentially this black woman from New York. She's lesbian. And it just follows her experience growing up in like a religious family.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of the first films that I saw where I started to piece together parts of my identity that I hadn't seen in media before.
Oh.
So I was like, oh. So I'll find the name and maybe we'll add it to the show notes. But speaking of, okay, well, we got to the LGBTQIA2S+, right?
Yeah, there we go.
I think a lot of the idea behind the acronym is to increase visibility, to increase community, to increase representation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think part of that, or a thing that I kind of want to discuss now, is this idea of authentic queer representation in media.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting here at 26 being like, I cannot name any person I've seen in the media that I feel reflected in. There are individuals who I've seen, and only very recently, literally within like the last 5 years, that I have started to see aspects of myself in, be it Bob the Drag Queen, watching RuPaul's Drag Race. That was literally one of my first lifetimes being like, oh my gosh, I see a lot of myself in someone on TV, be it with Lionel from Dear White People.
Oh my God.
I know.
I love Lionel.
Be it Eric from Sex Education. So there are just
their
representation
it,
is limited.
Like
it's very, it's not
it's the like the
authentic,
quaint,
yeah,
little
exactly.
like sidekick buddy and not
but
like.
But those are the pieces.
Made.
Those
but
are the pieces that so many queer people have to start to build their identity.
You're
and
right.
That's why I think it's so frustrating that even in 2021, right, there isn't a masculine presenting, non-binary, pansexual, polyamorous,
there isn't you.
Wildlife enthusiast. As a part of
not
any sort of storyline, you know what I'm saying? So that's why I'm out here doing
here.
The most
out here.
Slowly plugging Zabuma Fulisha. But this is what I'm saying. It's like a lot of queer people will just live in a world where we have to create that representation for ourselves.
Yeah.
Right. And that's kind of just the point I wanted to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's what I thought it was good.
This is a very meaty episode, y'all.
I thought the kids got a lot of good tidbits.
I think so, too. I hope so.
Meh!
My God.
That was my good sound.
Thanks for listening, y'all. This episode will have some show notes.
Yeah.
So I feel like we don't usually have, but we will have like a few links to the stuff that we've mentioned, useful links. And as always, you can find us at on Instagram, Goats and Oats Podcast, and you can find me at Support the Vegan on Instagram and TikTok and Patreon as well. And you can find me at Zip the Vegan on Clubhouse and Twitter. Although I have not been on Clubhouse in a while because I just
good. It's a social experiment that is rooted in elitism, and we'll talk about that in a later episode. But that being said, I genuinely think that iPhone. There's a lot of social experience happening with y'all. Anyway, point being said, there are other places that you can find us as well, like our Go to Notes GoFundMe, or you can find me at Instagram at jaunting.j or on Patreon at patreon.com/jauntingj. As always, we appreciate your support, but we especially are thankful when you head over to either Apple Podcasts or Google Reviews, pop over a little review, and just know that you have about a week, because next episode we'll be doing a major reading of the reviews, because we want to check in with y'all for showing us so much support. Anyway, thank you. Enough of us for today. Hope you got through this episode in one piece. We'll catch you next week.
Bye.